began. I don't know that I'll get to finish it, but I know I will begin it in Jesus' name. And praise God. If you have your Bibles, lift them up and wave them around. Repeat after me. This is my Bible, my very own Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I shall be taught from the living word of God, and I will never, never, never be the same again. My life will be better after having heard the ever-living, precious word of God. I will never, never, never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, glory to God. On last night, as I was contemplating on which direction I would go in, I had some things I had written down early in the week and all. So I just went through a bunch of different scriptures. These are all the messages I came up with last night. Okay. And they're all related. That's the thing. They're all related. But I'm not going to preach all those this morning. But I am going to talk about something that when I woke up this morning, the Holy Spirit just kind of brought some things together for me that I felt like on this last Sunday in 2015, he wanted to declare to you. And so if you will, begin with me in Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter number 28. And we'll begin reading with verse number 18. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, spoke to his disciples, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." I am what? I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Last week we talked about the title of the message was why continue telling the Christmas story? We began to talk about that. And we began to share some things that it lets us know why we do what we do. And that we do not lose our focus. And that we finish what he's given us to do. Amen. Why do we keep telling the Christmas story? Well, you know, as I posted a little video on Facebook the other day. And a little simple one, I'm sitting in my living room. And I said, it's just like the prophet said. It was a boy. Do not have his weight, do not have his height when he was born. But nevertheless, Jesus was born. Amen. But he was born for a reason. He's not an average, ordinary young child that was born into the earth. The scriptures speaks of him explicitly and began to declare about this particular child what he would be and what he would do, what he would grow into, what he would become. And as this week, as I was reading over the Christmas story, I realized also that after Jesus was born, after he become of age, he come back from Egypt and all, the scripture tells us at the age of 12 that Jesus, he goes up to Jerusalem with his family. And while he's there, the family, everything was over, all the festivity was over, the festival, and everybody else was on their way home. And then their parents realized that Jesus was not among them. And where was he? He was there amongst those that were teachers of the law. And he was listening and asking questions at the age of 12. Listening and asking questions. And his mom and dad, once they realized that he was not among them, they began to seek him. They went back and they located him there, sitting in the temple, listening and asking questions. And Mary, his mother, she asked him, you know, don't you understand that you cause a lot of frustration? I'm paraphrasing. You cause a lot of frustration because you're not where you should be. You're not where you should be. And then, hear this, and then Jesus responded at the age of 12, "Mother, do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" At the age of 12. So evidently he had some teaching. He learned some things. And for him to be able to go into the temple, evidently it was customary for them to take him and expose him to these things. In order for you to have an appetite for something, you have to be around it. You have to be exposed to it. And so Jesus was exposed to it. And can you imagine having a mother like Mary? The Bible talks about Mary, different things would be spoken over Jesus. And the Bible said Mary pondered these things within her heart. She meditated on, she began to think about it. Well, you know, the things that she pondered and she thought about, she talked to him about. And until the point, at the age of 12, he's past most adults as far as living with purpose. That nothing else really matters. I must be about my Father's business. And then also I made the statement in John chapter 3 verse 16. You know, we know it's written in red, but it really stood out to me one day. The Holy Spirit just kind of highlighted it to me. And I mentioned it to Marion one morning. I said, "Marion, do you know that Jesus was the one that stated, 'For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son'?" It was Jesus that said that. It was not just scripture written. That lets me know that Jesus knew what his purpose was, even at the beginning of his ministry. He knew when he went and stepped into ministry, now is the time, it's just a matter of time that I have come. Because John the Baptist said that, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." He came to die, to take away the sin of the world, S-I-N, to take it away. And of course, he did that. And we have to keep telling the story and living the story. I got to add that part in there. And living the story. Because sometimes, you know, people are real easy today. They can tell people about everything, but they ain't living none of it. You know, like I said, preachers are a dime a dozen. You find them all over the place. But to find a preacher that live in the word, like Jesus lived the word, I'm telling you, it's a big difference, and it shouldn't be. Because if you're called, you're called. You don't think Jesus didn't have obstacles in life? He had obstacles just like the rest of us had obstacles. But he knew something about his heavenly Father. Oh, glory to God. And I just appreciate how he developed. Because the scripture said in Luke chapter 2 that Jesus increased in wisdom and knowledge. He increased in understanding. And then the scripture said at the age of 12, did you hear what I said? At the age of 12, he went home with his parents and he submitted himself to them. And he increased in favor with God and with man. Can you imagine the Jesus that everybody really liked? I mean, he was obedient. You wouldn't find Jesus being mischievous. You know, sticking a firecracker in the chicken's mouth, you know. You wouldn't find Jesus doing stuff like that. Jesus loved the animals. He was a humanitarian. I mean, at a young age. You know, sometimes we kind of laugh about the stuff that we used to do. And some folks still do it, and they need to change. As Joe was saying today, they need to change. Amen. But we look at Jesus and I appreciate how he embraced what he was sent here to the earth to do. I have a question to ask you. Have you embraced why you were sent here to the earth? Have you embraced it? See, if you've embraced what God has sent you to do, realize that has nothing to do with anybody else. You're just supposed to fulfill what you're supposed to do. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And Jesus, after having accomplished going to the cross, dying, being buried, being raised again, and now he said, I'm finished on the earth for now. And he told his disciples, all power and all authority has been given to me in heaven and in earth. And also, as Paul revealed in Philippians chapter 2, under the earth. Amen. And then he delegated that authority to the church. And he gave us specific instructions as to what we should do now that we have been authorized. Verse 19, he said, Matthew chapter 28, go therefore. Now, if the Lord tell you to go, everything is necessary that's necessary for you to go with is already taken care of. Did you hear what I said? It's like this. When it came to the Lord one night, he sent his disciples away after he fed the, I don't know, was it 4,000 or the 5,000? He sent them away. And then while they were on the water still, he come walking on the water. And the disciples, they thought, oh, man, it's a ghost. And they were very fearful. And Jesus said, he spoke up and said, be not afraid. It is I. Peter said, if it's you, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. Everything that was necessary for Peter to walk on the water was in that word, come. Everything that was necessary for him to overcome the natural laws of the universe was in the word come. And Peter, without thinking, because many times that's what you have to do it without thinking. He got out the boat. Now you're looking at a professional fisherman. This is not a guy who just decided to go out and get on the boat one day for the first time. He understands by being on the water. He respects the water. He knows a little bit about fishing. This is profession. Okay, so he understands these natural laws. And no telling, he perhaps may have even seen some people drown. Now, we saw before that Jesus, they're going somewhere. So I think this is Mark chapter 4. Jesus is in his disciples. They're going somewhere. And Jesus is in the back part of the boat, sleep, knocked out. And the wind comes and the waves begin to roll. And the disciples, they were afraid. And they shook Jesus and woke him up. I'm telling you, if you don't know what else to do, wake him up. Amen. They woke him up. And they said, Lord, hey, don't you understand? We're about to die. And you sleeping like this. That must have been some good sleep, huh? Jesus is knocked out. And the worst of the worst is going on. Why is it that Jesus could be so calm in the midst of the storm? Because he understood his purpose. And he understood that in his purpose, everything that was necessary for him to fulfill his purpose was included in the fact that he was sent. He understood you couldn't take him out. His family members came along one day and they began to talk to him about some things. And Jesus said, you know what? My time hadn't come yet. But y'all could leave at any time. If you don't know what your purpose is, you can leave at any time. Amen. Look at somebody and say, find out what your purpose is. Amen. Hear this. Why? Hear this. Why is that so important? Because when you're walking in your purpose, everything that is necessary is there to undergird you. Hear this. Every supernatural call requires supernatural backing.
Right.
Oh, glory to God. Every supernatural call requires you to be undergirded supernaturally. We thank God for those in the natural that can do a few things. But when it comes to the supernatural, the natural can't take care of the supernatural. You need the supernatural to take care of the supernatural. And guess who's the supernatural? God is. And that's why God continually tells his people, from Genesis to Revelation, I am with you. I am for you. I don't know about you, but I need that assurance. Amen. Yes, and Peter, he gets out of the boat, steps right out on the boat, and began to walk toward Jesus. Man, I wish I had Periscope back then. I wish I had my Android phone, iPhone, and that you could put the little video on it. Watch Peter get out the boat. Do you understand the capabilities we have now with the technology we have? I mean, once you capture it, you captured it for the ages. All we have now is the story. And we have to visualize, and everybody visualize differently. Some people think, well, they actually within about a foot and a half of water. It don't make no difference how deep the water was. The Bible said he walked on the water. How many of you ever walked on the water in your bathtub? Amen. I'm telling you, it requires supernatural things to overcome natural things. And Peter began to walk. And as he began to walk, the scripture says he's walking toward Jesus. And then all of a sudden, he looked around. He saw the wind and the waves. They were boisterous. No doubt they may have been like the North Shore in Hawaii. You know, those waves come up, 70, 80 feet in the air. And you go... Ain't no telling what people may say when they see something like that. People, it depends on what your vocabulary is. It depends on what comes out your mouth. Yeah. Everybody say something different. Whatever's in you come out of you immediately. And the scripture said, Peter, seeing these things, he began to sink. And he cried out to the Lord. I'm telling you, if you're sinking, cry out to the Lord. Don't just gonna keep going down. Call on him. The scripture said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Anybody called on him lately? Amen. Now, he called on the Lord, and the scripture said Jesus reached out and saved him. But at the same time, he rebuked him by asking a question. In other words, Peter, you were doing good. Why did you doubt? Why did you doubt when everything that was necessary for you to walk in fulfillment, to walk on the water, was in the word come? Why did you doubt? So many times God tells us to come. And we're going like, well, look, yep. And that's what the devil said. Look at this. Look at that. Look at the other. Have you noticed this lately? The devil always points you to the natural. God always bring you out into the supernatural to walk above stuff. It's the will of God that the mountains that you face would come down, that the valley that you're in would come up, and that you walk on a plane of victory all the days of your life. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus said to his disciples, Matthew 28, go therefore and make disciples. Somebody said, y'all still preaching that? Yeah. My question is, when are we going to do it? Because the message is not changing. 1,000 years from now, if Jesus tarry his coming, the message will still be the same. I don't care what great preacher comes along. People want to know, well, what's the message of the day? What's the Lord saying today? The Lord ain't saying nothing different. I mean, what he said is written. The thing is, when are we going to start doing it the way he said do it? He said, make disciples of who? That means you're supposed to go anywhere. Somebody said, well, I need to pray about whether. Listen here. Everything that is necessary for you to make disciples is in the word go. Well, I don't know. We got to use wisdom. That's your problem right there, using that wisdom. There's more than one kind of wisdom. There's wisdom that descends from above. And then there's wisdom that comes up from below. Make sure you're operating in the right one. Amen. Make disciples of all the nation, baptizing them of the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. I don't know why people even have issues about baptism, water baptism. You know, I'm Jesus only. Okay. You know what I started doing? In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, I baptize you in the name of Jesus. I got all of it covered. Amen. I was raised with that kind of foolishness. Yeah, matter of fact, they even told me that if you were not baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Spirit, you were not saved. I'm like, really? That's why you need to read your own Bible. And don't need to sit there and argue with people. Just read the Bible and accept it and move on. Now hear this, everybody not going the same direction you're going. And if people don't believe what the Bible said, you need to separate from them. Amen. Oh, glory to God. And then he said, to teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And notice he said, said to him one more time before he left, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Where is God? That's where Jesus is. Jesus said, I am what? With you. I am with you. So when you get up in the morning, guess where God is? I'm telling you, we need to develop a God consciousness. That God is with us. You know, when you develop a consciousness that God is with you, it changes the way you live your life. It changes the way you talk. It'll change the way you walk. There's some places you can't go if you realize God with you. Amen, somebody. There's some things you can't do if you realize God is. Whew. My Lord. Now, we want to look and see 1 John chapter 1. Like I said, I'm not going to preach all five messages that's written. I'm just introducing some things right now. 1 John chapter, you know what? I'm going to begin in 2 Peter, because 2 Peter goes and then 1 John chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 3. Beginning with verse 17, Peter writes, and you know, Peter walked with Jesus. How many other people wrote? How many disciples that walked with Jesus wrote their own epistles? Peter and John, right? I mean disciples that walked with him. Okay, Peter and John. And there were 12 disciples. All right? I mean to have Peter didn't just have one book, he had two books. Two epistles. And for him to have that, that meant the Holy Spirit thought pretty highly of him. Even in his messed up condition before he met the Lord. In other words, God worked with him. glory to God. So many times people point out people's their failures and all their shortcomings and all that. But I'm telling you, if you keep walking with God, God will help you change all that. Just like people talk about blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus no longer blind. People like to hold on to your condition that you used to have. You say that person, blind Bartimaeus, ain't blind no more. I see just like you see. I see that yellow sweater you got on. Amen. Glory to God. I once was blind, but now I see. But here in 2 Peter chapter 3, beginning with verse 17, Peter writes, "You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." I'm going to read this to you from the Message Bible. Verse 17. It says, "But you, friends, are well warned. Be on guard lest you lose your footing and get swept off your feet by these lawless and loose-talking teachers. Grow in grace and understanding of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ." What are we supposed to be growing in? Growing in grace and understanding of our Master and Savior, Jesus Christ. Glory to the Master now and forever. Yes. Let's continue in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. John writes, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full." Again, from the Message Bible, John writes, "From the very first day we were there, taking it all in, we heard it with our own ears, verified it with our own hands. The word of life appeared right before our eyes. We saw it happen. And now we are telling you in most sober prose that what we witnessed was incredibly this: the infinite life of God himself took shape before us. We saw it, we heard it, and now we're telling you so you can experience it along with us. This experience of communion with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Our motive for writing is simply this: we want you to enjoy this too. Your joy will double your joy." Verse 5. "This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There's not a trace of darkness in him." Now, Jesus told his disciples, he said, "Go into all the world." And he said, "The things that I have commanded you, I want you to tell others about it." And so John is here right now telling us some of the things that Jesus explained to them, opened their understanding about. He tells them about God, his nature. God is light. Three things we can say about God: God is light, God is life, and God is love. Amen. God is light, God is life, and God is love. Come on, say it with me. God is what? God is light. And God is love. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Oh, glory to God. Hey, let's continue reading here from the Message Bible, verse 6. Well, I'll read verse 5 again. "This, in essence, is the message we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There is not a trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we experience a shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being the light, we also experience a shared life with one another, as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's Son, purges all our sin. We are called to find out about the light, to discover, and then walk in the light. The Bible said that he that saith that he walketh in the light and walks in darkness is a liar. If you say you're walking in light, then you need to walk in the light. You need to manifest God wherever you go. How do we manifest God? By walking in the light as he is in the light. Amen. Again, three things about God. We know about God. God is what? Light. God is? And God is? Now, John chapter 13, verse 34 and 35, as I'm about to wrap this up here, Jesus made a statement. Who said it?
Jesus
made this statement, and it behooves all of us to pay attention to what Jesus say, because we're going to have to stand in judgment based on what he said. Verse 34 and 35 of John chapter 13. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." God is what? Light. God is light. God is. God is. Now, Jesus said, men are going to know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have one for another. Not because of the kind of car you drive, not because of the gated community you live in, not because of how big your boat is, not because of what kind of clothes you wear. God is going to know that you are my, God said, men are going to know that you are my disciples because of the love that you have for one another. He that saith he walks in the light and hates his brother, as 1 John talks about, is a liar. Now, I remember one preacher, he said he was talking to this lady who was raised in church. And in talking to her, he asked her after he got through preaching, they went home, went to their home. He was a guest in their home. And said, "I noticed during the service, something seemed to be bothering you during the service. You just had this sour look on your face. What was it?" She said, well, sir, you've been preaching about we have to walk in love, and that if we don't walk in love, we don't have eternal life abiding in us. I said, "Yeah, that's right. That's what the scripture said." Can somebody say, "That's what the scripture said"? You know, we have to stick with the scriptures. And he said, "So what's wrong with that?" She said, "Well, I hate my mother-in-law." And she said, "Well, you know, she's just a hard woman to live with. And you know, he said, "Well, I can't take the scriptures out. The scriptures are written. The Bible said, if you hate your brother, the love of God doesn't abide in you. And if the love of God isn't abiding in you, the life of God is not abiding in you." What do you mean abide? To dwell within. In other words, we have to keep real short accounts. Matter of fact, somebody said, "What does a short account mean?" It means before sun go down, you need to deal with it. We have to deal with stuff and let it go. Why? Because it's imperative that we realize we are Jesus's representative. And we are representing his light, his life, and his love. And when we walk in the light as he is in the light, when we walk in love as he loved us, and when we live this life that he ordained for us to live, I'm telling you, it changes everything. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. I think it was St. Francis of Assisi. He said, when it comes to preaching the gospel, if we must use words, then we will. But our life should reflect something. Oh, my God. Our life should reflect just like the moon. I looked out there at the moon the other night. The moon's full moon. The moon in and of itself has no light. The moon reflects the sun. And just as the moon reflects the sun, we're supposed to reflect Christ. That's why we say, without him, we're nothing. We have nothing. We know nothing. We can do nothing. We can do all things through who?
Christ.
Who lives within us. Hallelujah. So, we had to make sure we got the message right. And that we're living the message. My first priority is not to please you. My first priority is to please the Lord. If the Lord look at me and go like this, I'm in trouble. If I get up here and I go off on y'all, listen here. I've been pastoring you for 14 years now. And I tell you, there's a few things I got on my mind I want to talk to you about this morning. You know, when the Lord look at me, he's going to go like this. And it could be, he could fire me. Y'all can't fire me, but he can. Because I don't work for you, I work for him. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hey. So we have to make sure we got the message right and that we are communicating that message wherever we go. Did you know I'm an extension of him? Did you know that you're an extension of me? When you tell people you go to Maranatha, they're gonna tell a lot about me by looking at you. I hope both pictures match. Amen. I hope they both match. And it's just as I hope it matches. When you see the Lord, you see me. When you hear the Lord talk, you hear me talking the same things. We're called to reflect him. And we want to make sure we get the message straight and communicate it so that there are millions of people still on planet Earth that have yet to hear and to see. John said, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have handled, that's what we're talking to you about. Amen. In him was light. There's no darkness at all. Now hear this. There's a voice that comes also, not from the Spirit of God who lives on the inside, but the flesh, this thing that we live in, it has a voice too. And you got to be able to tell it to shut up. Oh, no, you don't just have what you want. Matter of fact, your flesh is crazy. Your flesh will eat a whole box of Twinkies. And then go get some ice cream. Yeah, and want some more. And he'll do it daily. I'm telling you, you got to put your body under. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he said, I am not as a fighter who's fighting against the air. Every blow I throw, I look to connect. Every decision I make, I look to make a difference. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I know, and in the natural, sometimes people say, well, Pastor, you know, it seems like you're really not in this world. It seems like you act like you're in heaven. I mean, you act like people that act like they're in heaven already. Well, what's wrong with that? Jesus prayed that the will of the Father be done on the earth as well as it is in heaven. Who do you think it's supposed to be done for? Who do you think it's supposed to be done through? Us. Amen. Now, as we fellowship with him, we walk in the light as he's in the light. Now hear this. In order for there to be fellowship with him, there also has to be a separation from some other things. Now, if people not walking in the light, you just got to let them go. Pray for them and keep moving. And sometimes you got to get up and run. I mean, there are some things, if you find yourself in a situation, there are some things you got to get up at midnight while everybody's sleeping and run off. Don't even leave a note. Get yourself out of there. Release yourself. Amen. Why? Because you want to continue that fellowship with him. Amen. Glory to God. This then is the message that we've heard of him. This is the message. There's a lot of preaching going on. But who's talking about what Jesus said? I am come that you might have life, that you may have Zoe, that you may have eternal life, everlasting life. How many people are magnifying that? Magnify that. And I'm telling you, it'll change everything else about your life. As we step over into 2016, we're going to magnify what he magnified. Amen. And not only are we going to magnify it, we're going to manifest it. Manifesting the life of Jesus. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, we thank you for taking these few words that we've shared this morning. Thank you for challenging each and every one of us to step it up. And as Pastor Marin tell the little story about the mama tomatoes and the baby tomatoes, as we were crossing the road, one little tomato was dragging behind. The mama tomato ran back and told the baby tomato that was lagging behind, catch up! It's time for us to catch up with you, oh God, and stop lagging behind. Stop dragging our feet and be all that you called us to be. With your help, we can do it. In Jesus' name. Somebody say, with your help, I can do it, oh God. Amen. Hallelujah. Now hear this. That's going to require an adjustment of your time, what you spend your time doing. These things right here are great, but there comes a time when you have to lay them down and fellowship with him. Amen. Hallelujah.